Thank you, Father Gill, my dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious, brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially those of you who will receive the sacrament of confirmation this evening. The most important part of the sermon tonight will be the action of those who are going to be confirmed. Now, those of us who have received the sacrament of confirmation earlier will be inspired by what they do and hopefully renew in our own hearts and in our lives our commitment to our baptismal foundation, our baptismal graces. But it's still my duty to say a few words about today's scripture readings. So I'd like to talk very briefly about each one of them. In order for us to understand the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles that described that very dramatic coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church in its earliest days, we have to make a reference to the Old Testament. I don't know how many of you study your Bible, but in the Old Testament, in the early part, in the book of Genesis, we hear the story, or read the story, of the Tower of Babel. You know, our ancestors, the early human beings, in their desire to be strong and independent from God, decided to build a tower reaching into the heavens, approaching God on their own. And the Bible story tells us that because of their pride, God sent confusion among them. And that's where all the various languages of the world began. You know, people were no longer able to understand one another. That's why we call languages we can't understand babble, you know, like psychobabble, when psychologists talk about things we don't understand. It's all related to that story in the book of Genesis. In today's passage from the Acts of the Apostles, the Holy Spirit restores the unity that was part of God's original plan. When the apostles spoke in Aramaic, it says that everybody, all those from different parts of the known world at that time, could understand them, reminding us that one of the signs of the presence of the Holy Spirit is what? Unity among God's people. We see that also in today's second reading, when St. Paul told us that each one of us has his own gifts or her own gifts, and we're all part of the body of Christ. And we're supposed to use those gifts not just for ourselves, but for the good of the whole community. Some of us are hands, some of us are eyes, some of us are mouths, some of us are feet. And none of us are complete without one another, making up the fullness of the body of Christ, with, of course, Christ as the head of the body. So the Holy Spirit, the sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit, is unity and also generosity in terms of using our gifts in the service of other people. Our second reading, which is from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we heard something very important. It began by saying, "Brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Now, anybody can say those words, of course. But what St. Paul means, nobody can say that and mean it except by the Holy Spirit. You know, those of us who are Catholics cling to our faith. Now, we believe what we believe is a gift from God. And it's something that's beautiful and leads to salvation. So our Catholic faith has content that has been given to us by God. God, in His wisdom, has given us wisdom in the content of our faith. But that's not enough. Faith isn't only content. Faith is also commitment. And that's what Jesus is Lord means. It means that nobody else is Lord. Nobody else has control of my life. And whether it be my spouse or my political party or money or pleasure, there's only one Lord, and it's not me, it's not you, it's Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of our lives. And if we can say that and mean it, it's a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church and in our lives. You know, commitment as well as content. So it's never enough for us to think we know the faith. We have to live it with enthusiasm and joy under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate as we celebrate confirmation. You are, once again, renewing the promises of your baptism when you first claim Jesus as Lord, or your godparents did that, or your parents did that for you. But now at this moment in your adult life, you are once again submitting yourself, your whole self, without holding anything back, to Jesus as your Lord. And I have to ask you, do you mean that? If you don't, those are just words. And it's a sign that the Holy Spirit isn't in your heart. Jesus is Lord. We celebrate that in a unique way today through the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church. Which brings me to the third reading, today's gospel reading. And again, for us to understand this, we have to understand the Old Testament. Once again, the book at the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis. I want to remind you of the story of creation. You know, God created the universe, all that's in it. He said everything's good, everything's beautiful. But when we read the story of the creation of Adam and Eve, the creation of human beings, we're told that God took dirt from the earth and formed it into a human body. And what did he do? He breathed on it and gave it life. So God's breath, the Holy Spirit, gives life. Now, in today's gospel passage, which took place on the first Easter Sunday, when the apostles were hiding because they were afraid that they would be crucified like Jesus was, Jesus came among them. He wished them the gift of peace. And it says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you retain, they shall be retained." So the gift of the Holy Spirit gives life again. And the sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church is that the church has life. And the sign of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life and in mine is that we have life. We have commitment. We have energy. We have enthusiasm. We believe what we say. We put it into practice. And that makes our lives and our community very attractive to other people. God breathes new life into you as you receive the sacrament of confirmation today. You know, I will mark your forehead with a sign of his love, which is the cross. You know, the cross is not a sign of suffering for us anymore. It's a sign of self-giving, right? Jesus gave himself on the cross for us. And our foreheads, the central part of our body, are marked with the cross as a symbol of our commitment to give ourselves away in sacrificial love to both God, to our family, to our friends, to the world. And if we do that, it's a sign that the Holy Spirit is still present among us today. So this is a big day for those of you who are going to be confirmed. It's not a ceremony. It's a moment for you where you encounter Jesus Christ and he gives you his Holy Spirit to enliven your hearts, enliven your lives, to make you vibrant, dynamic Christians. Now, let that happen. Don't hold anything back. That's what God wants to do, and I hope you want to do it too. Because if you and God are in this together, nothing stands in the way. So don't resist the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to give you a vivifying faith. A viva means a life-giving faith, so that you might be as full of the Holy Spirit as the members of our early church. May the Lord bring to completion the good things he begins in your lives this evening.